Drive Time on RTE Radio 1. Sponsored by Zurich. For pensions, protection, savings and investments. At Zurich, we deal in peace of mind.
Tweet at Drive Time RTE.
You're welcome back. Just a warning for listeners in younger ears, especially, that this next report contains distressing details. Survivors of the Omagh bombing have been giving harrowing accounts of the physical and mental injuries they suffered in the aftermath of the atrocity. One woman said she still lives with a constant fear of dying, while another said 26 years later, pieces of shrapnel are still coming out of her body. They've been giving evidence at the inquiry into the bombing. It was set up by the British government to examine whether it could have been prevented. Our reporter Una Kelly was at the inquiry, and Una's with me now. Una, today the inquiry moved into the next phase of hearing from survivors.
Yes, the pen portraits phase where we hear about those who died has almost concluded. There'll be one more for James Barker, and we're expecting that next week. But now we're hearing vivid and at times graphic accounts from those who were caught up in the bomb and survived about the impact on their bodies, the impact on their minds and their futures. Pauline Hart was a 19-year-old art student with a summer job in a shop in the town. When the bomb warning came in, people thought the bomb was near the courthouse. Pauline and others were moved further down Market Street, and Pauline was standing beside the car with the bomb in it when it went off.
The engine of the car used for the bomb landed in my legs with the axle resting on my waist. And it was on fire. I was on fire underneath it. I didn't know it was a fire because fire has the colour yellow in it. I saw deep black, orange and red colours moving, and it sounded as angry as it looked. My ears hurt and everything was muffled. People were screaming above the noise of the engine. I knew I was trapped and reached my hand down to see what was stopping me. I touched the bar across my stomach, and that is my first memory of the pain. The tar was melted around me and my elbow was sunk into it.
Pauline said that around 6 to 8 men tried to help her. They rocked the engine to free her and didn't stop to tend to their own injuries. They managed to pull her free, burning their hands in the process. Pauline said she can't imagine their trauma. She met some of them in the years afterwards. One man told her he went home that day with her melted skin on his hands. She said they felt profound devastation because some of the people they were helping that day didn't survive. Pauline was first taken to Omagh County Hospital before being transferred to Belfast. She said she had broken ribs and collarbone, a punctured lung and third-degree burns from the waist down. She said that for her family looking after her, they have felt every bit of my pain. Often they have felt it more as I had heavy pain relief for the physical injuries. My mum and sisters had no relief. Pauline was being treated in the Royal Victoria Hospital in Belfast, and she described the recovery period.
I have many memories of screaming in pain, and my voice has never been the same since this time. A long journey began in the Royal. I remember the pain of the burns being so acute that I could feel the vibrations from someone walking in heels. It travelled up through my body until I could feel it in my teeth. It was an agonising, searing pain, and when I closed my eyes, everything was white. I was laid in what was called a sand bed. My skin couldn't physically touch a mattress, so the sand bed would move the grains of sand around. So I was essentially floating with no pressure applied to my legs. I knew when other burns victims were getting their dressings changed by their howls in the adjacent rooms.
Pauline Hart then underwent 2 operations for an amputation on her lower left leg. She said she can't describe the horror of the word amputation and that it was extremely traumatic. She said the new nerve sensations and phantom pains on that leg are unbearable. She said she's still dealing with many issues with her skin and has needed more operations. She said the shrapnel has worked its way to the surface of her body over the years. She said that the bomb reverberated through everyone who tended to her. and left those people marked on the inside. She said that they absorbed her pain and that she's grateful and yet sorry that they did this for her. She also said that she thinks about those who died and lost loved ones. She finished her evidence by saying, "My body is broken, but I'll be forever grateful I don't have a broken heart." Now, Pauline did go on to marry and his four children. She said her family has surrounded her with a world of love and calm. And she also undertakes citizen education work to help people understand the effect of violence in Northern Ireland. The inquiry chairman, Lord Turnbull, at the end of her evidence said, "One can only hope those responsible for or those who condone the atrocity will learn through the evidence at this inquiry of the real nature and effects of their acts on that day."
And Una, the inquiry also heard today from a traffic warden who was directing vehicles after the bomb warning was called in.
Yes, Rosemary Ingram was a traffic warden. She had been asked by police on that day if she could help them directing traffic as there was due to be a carnival in the town that afternoon. But then the bomb warning came in and she was preventing traffic going towards Market Street. She said she didn't see anyone trying to prevent pedestrians going in that direction. When the bomb went off, she said she felt a thud in her back and she was thrown in the air. She described a massive blast, a sharp bang, a cloud of debris and dust falling around them with the smell of burning flesh and people screaming. A police car full of injured people pulled up beside her and she was told to get in. They then went to the hospital. She said she was able to walk into Omagh County Hospital, and later the walking wounded were told to go to Erin Hospital in Enniskillen. Rosemary had many injuries from shrapnel and some fractures. The explosion also affected her spine and her hearing. She said she had multiple surgeries over the years and still has some deep small fragments of shrapnel in her body. The consultant surgeon said it would be too dangerous to remove them. These are the words of Rosemary Ingram. Her statement was read to the inquiry by lawyer Beth McMullen.
26 years after the explosion, I still have shrapnel coming out of my body, sometimes with ongoing bleeding. I have been left to this day with chronic debilitating pain. There is always something wrong with me, and I have been struggling with my mobility, although prior to the bombing, I enjoyed a happy life with good mental and physical health. The bombing is still there in the background. Flashbacks, memories, and nightmares relating to what happened can come back at any time. What I hear or see, such as ambulance sirens, act as a trigger to bring back memories of the bombing that generate anxiety and depression. I was also diagnosed with post-traumatic stress disorder in 1999, with symptoms such as depression, anxiety, panic attacks, and insomnia.
And Rosemary said she was unfit to work in the aftermath and took early retirement. Her family had to leave their home because it was close to the hospital and the sirens from ambulances triggered her PTSD. She said it had a detrimental impact on the whole family. And Rosemary was also very close, she said, to her sister-in-law, Anne McComb, who was murdered in the bomb.
Rosemary Ingram, Una, also said the process for receiving compensation for her injuries was humiliating. Is that the word she used?
Yes, this was in 2002. Rosemary said she was called to the High Court to have her injuries assessed in a small room with six lawyers. She said that...
That line seems to have dropped. Could you start that again, that answer, if you don't mind? The line dropped just momentarily, Una.
Yes, certainly. This was back in 2002. Rosemary said that she had been called to the High Court to assess her injuries, and she was in a small room with six lawyers. She said that she was told to strip to her underwear and stand in the corner of the room, facing the wall in front of the panel. She said that this was so the Northern Ireland Office's compensation agency could examine her injuries. She said that one lawyer pulled with his pen on her underwear so that he could better see the extent of the injuries. She described this as humiliating and that it made her feel like a victim all over again. She said that thankfully her husband had stayed in the room and tried to put a jacket around her shoulders. Rosemary said that she then pleaded for the process to be changed so that the assessment could be done through looking at medical reports and photos of injuries. Eventually, this was done for other victims, and her statement ended by mentioning that justice for the victims and injured has never happened.
And that was Rosemary Ingram. Who else did the inquiry hear from today?
We heard a statement on behalf of Nicola Marlowe, who was injured. Her 17-year-old sister, Jolene Marlowe, was murdered that day. She said she never got a chance to say goodbye to her sister. They were standing side by side by the car that killed her and maimed Nicola. Nicola had multiple injuries and said her family had to suppress their grief and suffering over Jolene in order to help her. Ian Ferguson had a dry cleaners business in the town. He told of how he spent the day carrying the injured and covering the dead with sheets that were taken from his laundrette. Valerie Hamilton suffered injuries, including a serious one to her eye. She said she didn't want to leave the house for 5 years afterward. She said she's still wary in crowds, always looking for exit points, and has a constant fear of dying. And Adele Doherty wasn't physically injured, but she provided first aid on that day. She gave a vivid account of the mental effects of this. She said, "The sights I saw that day remain with me. Body parts, pieces of flesh, water and blood gushing down the street. Casualties with clothes blowing off them, the walking wounded like zombies."
Una Kelly, thank you very much indeed for that. That was testimony to the public inquiry into the Yoma bombing today. If you've been affected by anything you've heard, help is available. Please go to rte.ie/action online.